With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best analysis, the best interviews, the best coverage, and no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
Welcome. We are broadcasting live. We're at Stenny's here in Walker's Point. It's hour number two of the Bill Michaels Huddle. I'm Bill Michaels. We are glad to have you. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels. Got Bill Baby Tausch Schmidt is alongside from 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee, the afternoon show there, the big show, and also Ryan Horvath from the Chuck and Winkler show. And Bill, where can they find you on Twitter?
Bill Schmidt Radio. I'm pretty basic that way.
Bill Schmidt Radio. And Ryan?
Ryan Horvath. That's the good thing about being one of one Ryan Horvath. You don't have to have the underscore or anything.
Well, and the only issue with me is, and I know people will understand this and feel this pain. The way that I describe my name is I have no T. I'm without a T, just a D.
What?
Is that a low T comment? Low T joke?
Yeah, you can do that. I'm with you on that.
Some good people branding. Need some help. Some people need some help. Everyone.
Yeah, right. Good branding. There.
All right.
With everybody else.
There you have it.
Low on the tee.
Smoke
just the
D. Got it. Well, there you have it. Let's do this. I want to get back into it when we were talking earlier about, Matt Nagy. He went through this last year. Matt LaFleur is going through this now as a first-year head coach. Nagy had to come into Lambeau Field and open up in a rather inauspicious manner. And they got ahead. They knocked Aaron Rodgers out of the game. Aaron comes back, and he ends up winning the ball game for him. And we thought the season was going to be magical, and it turned out to be just the opposite. Mm-hmm. Well, it was magical because it made Mike McCarthy disappear. However, on the other hand, you're hoping for a sustained magic out of Matt LaFleur in that offense. And so much has been made. We talk so much about the defense, and we talk so much about, what this defense maybe is capable of, or at least where they need to be. But here's the other question. Where does this offense need to be? For this team to have a legitimate aspiration to get to the postseason, and I'm not talking just get there. I'm talking get deep into the postseason.
Do something in the playoffs.
So where does this offense need to be? And then the question you have to go with, and you have to take it a step further, is do they then have the capability to do that? You know what I mean?
I think they definitely have the capability to be a top 10 offense. I mean, last year, if you look at the system, it was kind of a mess. Now this year, it's going to be getting rid of the ball quickly, scheming your way down the field. You got two capable backs. It all just depends. I mean, last year, you start off the season, Aaron Jones is suspended. So right away, Jamal Williams is getting all the snaps. You bring in a guy like Dexter Williams, he could be maybe a gadget player. I'm expecting a big jump from MVS this year in year two. I think that
And two, you mentioned MVS. Also, think of Geronimo Allison.
Right, he was having a great year, and he goes down, gets knocked out, and you lose him for the season.
He was on pace to have over 1,000 yards receiving. And we talk about the depth in the receiving core, and it is dependent upon where Aaron Jones can get to. If they're going to be able to make noise in the playoffs, Bill, and get themselves back to at least playing for a chance to go to the Super Bowl, right? Like, as long as you're playing for your chance, you're getting yourself to the divisional round, getting yourself to that NFC championship, they got to be a top 10 offense. I don't care what anybody says. You got to be able to put up points in this league no matter how good your defense is.
I don't think you have to have Aaron Rodgers at an MVP performance type of level, but I think from 2 years ago when he went down, when Anthony Barr took him down, he was having a tremendous season.
Big time.
Big time season. And last year his numbers were great. It's just you could just tell to the eyeball test, there were just some throws that were off. Some throws that he normally would lay in the guy's hands in the back of the end zone, and he was overthrowing Devontae Adams. He was overthrowing his wide receivers. He didn't trust his guys coming out of the backfield. It's like he was only going to put it into a place there if you made a spectacular play, you'd catch it. Otherwise, it was going to be in Never Never Land.
He was trying.
Right, where he wasn't going to give up opportunities, which I appreciate.
Right.
But he just wasn't Aaron Rodgers last year.
I think the difference is, though, now is that superstar quarterbacks don't win Super Bowls anymore. Like, if you go back and you look at Dan Marino, arguably
sure
one
does.
Of the greatest throwers of the football. Yeah, Tom Brady's a great quarterback, but and this isn't a knock on Tom Brady. He's also a system quarterback. He stays within that system. He's not buying time in the pocket and doing what Aaron Rodgers does. Aaron Rodgers is the closest thing to LeBron James if you look at sports. Like in basketball, if you're down 10 points in the fourth quarter, one guy could take over. In football, you don't see that anymore. Like you don't see what Aaron Rodgers did in the second half week one against Chicago last year. A guy can't just throw
sure.
the team on his shoulders. It's all about a system. Look at the Rams. I think Jared Goff's a great quarterback. But look what happened to him in the Super Bowl once you stack the box and you take Todd Gurley and the running aspect out of it. So I think for Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't have to throw for 4,000 yards, 35 touchdown passes this year. He just has to play within the system and put points up on the board.
Well, and Bill, you touched on it in the first hour while we were here, is Aaron last year felt like he was throwing and waiting for guys to get open to throw to an open guy. Depending on where you see these players and these wide receivers in the second-year jump, the biggest jump you're going to make in your career, historically, if you're going to make it to another level as an NFL player, is in your first to second year. The first to second-year jump is where the game settles down, you know what the speed is, you know what to expect on a day-in and day-out basis, and then you can make that leap. We'll see if, in the first couple of weeks, if he's at that level with these guys and if he does have that trust in a Marquez Valdez-Scantling, in a Geronimo Allison, which we saw last year, the ball to Kyle Fuller, or beat Kyle Fuller in the back of the end zone, that was thrown to a spot, let somebody go make a play.
Packers are 2-2 in the season. What's the story?
Ooh, 2-2 in the season. I think everybody would actually be fine with that because I don't think the bar has been set pretty low locally, whereas nationally
remember,
now.
Remember, though, you've got, what is it, 5 of the first 7 at home.
Well, you get the Bears and the Vikings right off the jump. You get the Broncos, who I know a lot of people are overlooking the Broncos. Their win total isn't very high. We don't know what Joe Flacco is going to look like first year in that system. But defensively, I mean, they have one of the best pass rushes in the league. So right there, you're going on enemy turf. I still think it's a 3-1 start, but I think 2-2 people would be fine with. 1-3, I think then we're people are calling for the heads of I don't know who.
I don't know where you sit on it, Bill. It depends on, and this is a cop-out answer, it depends on why they're 2-2, right? Like, if they're not able to score and we're seeing a little bit of frustration on the sideline, the story is going to be, can Matt LaFleur control Aaron?
That's where I was going with this, was, is that the story? Because I think once adversity hits, that's when you'll find out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really, and going back to the unknown factor, the one you can't put sabermetrically to any numerical statistician is, what does Aaron Rodgers do? Is he angry? Does he have the faces? Is he you know, talking at press conferences in a backhanded way about his head coach or play calling? Or, well, we've got to get Devontae open more. We've got to scheme more plays for him. I mean, basically saying, hey, you're not doing enough. So, to me, I'm waiting for the – not that I want controversy to hit, but when it does, that's my number one thing. I'm watching to see what leadership role Aaron Rodgers takes. Somebody said to me, and this was a while ago, and it holds so true, is great players can play great, but Hall of Famers can raise everybody's level and leaders raise everybody's level. So not only, I mean, Michael Jordan would play great, but he'd make everybody play great around him. He could take a game on his shoulders, but everybody played great around him. You saw it, you know, Walter Payton. He could make everybody better. He would tell the offensive line, just
every
give me a hole,
week.
And I'll go out and find something.
Tom
we'll
Brady.
All look great. Tom Brady.
Arguably the best leader in football history.
Right. Is Aaron Rodgers a great leader? That's been calling the question so much. That's why I think this year is that proving year in the sense of he's coming out to say, look, I'm shaking off all the rumors and innuendos and all the garbage from the past, which is why I believe Aaron Rodgers. It's stupid to say he's an X factor because he's a known quantity. But I think that elevated level of play, not maybe so much statistically, but what he does with the guys, I think becomes more prevalent.
I think he's trying to be a better leader, if that makes any sense. But I don't know if he's there yet. And we always want these guys to be rah-rah guys. That's just not how everybody is, especially a guy like Aaron Rodgers, because he's so talented, he just expects you to work as hard as he does. But I think this year he knows all eyes are on him, because the national narrative always was, even if the Packers started off slow or they were struggling, well, Ted Thompson didn't spend any money in the offseason. Mike McCarthy's offense has become bland. Dom Capers has given up 30 points per game. Now, a lot of the focus is on Aaron Rodgers for the first time, even nationally. Guys like Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, who always stuck up for Rodgers. I mean, all the attention is going to be on him, even on the sidelines after a 3-and-out. So I think that for his PR, I mean, if I'm running PR for Aaron Rodgers, I'm telling him everybody has their eyes on you. This is a big deal for you, not only on the field but off the field.
Be
as well.
Smart in what you say. Right. Yes. Don't backhand anybody. Take ownership of any problems that there are and say it starts with me. And shut up. Don't say anything after that.
Don't be the problem.
Exactly. I was just going to say, and then take the advice that apparently leaked out via Mark Murphy.
Right.
Don't be the problem.
And allow yourself to trust others. I think that's one of the big things is when we saw him at his peak, he was trying. He was taking over games, right? And when you lose the game in Seattle when he throws two picks and only one touchdown, they weren't able to elevate over the top of there. Understanding he needs the sum of his parts. He needs a running game. Dude, you're going to be 36 when we come to playoff football this year. You're going to need a running game.
Right.
You're
he struggles to take what the defense gives him, and that's what you have to do in today's NFL. He always wants the big play, and it makes sense because he's always felt like he had to take those games over, like he had to be the Michael Jordan on the football
field. And I just feel like he knows at this point in time, he seems confident in what he's said the last couple of weeks. Coming out of camp, in the last couple of weeks, it's felt like he's confident enough in what's around him that he knows he doesn't have to do it all himself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that he's going to relish in the fact of. It could still be a 2-2 start, though, Bill. And you're exactly right. Great teams are going to hit adversity multiple times in the year, and they overcome it. I'm interested to see not only what Aaron Rodgers does in the face of adversity, but the 39-year-old guy that a lot of people think is the Ken doll of a Barbie, and that's Matt LaFleur. I mean, a lot of people are looking at him like, what is he going to do when he needs to rally the troops?
I thought he did a great job in the game against the Texans. Immediately following that, everybody went to Aaron Rodgers and talked about, you know, the joint practices, and then took that comment to Matt LaFleur and said, Aaron says he doesn't like the joint practices. What are your thoughts? And he said, you know, exactly what I thought he would say is, well, I expect Aaron to say that he's a veteran. But then he went and said, it's not about Aaron. It's about the other 10 guys that have to be on the same page with him. And that was where he said, I understand what Aaron's coming from, but I'm the coach. And you have to realize there's more than you in the world, Aaron, than just what we're doing with joint practices. And I thought that at that point was me saying, okay, at least LaFleur is the head coach of this team, and he's definitely got this. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We are broadcasting live down here at Stenny's and Walker's Point, brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. When we come back, we have some predictions right around the corner at the bottom of the hour. We'll get into that discussion. Also, one thing we have not talked about regarding this game at all, and we need to because it's prevalent. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We are back. Welcome back. It is the Bill Michaels Huddle. We are broadcasting live down here at Stenny's in Walker's Point. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us, our inaugural show for 2019. Packers getting ready to take on the Chicago Bears tomorrow night. Soldier Field, 7:20 is the kick time. And Bill Baby Tausch Schmidt alongside with Ryan Horvath as well on the dais today as we sit here and kind of overlook the crowd. Some of them have left for the ZZ Top concert tonight. Others have meandered in for some of the food, the Bill Michaels garlic cheese bread, the wings, and a lot of the good times. So one thing we have not talked about, thicken out. Mason Crosby keeps his job. Eddie Pinheiro is the new kicker down in Chicago.
And a meme.
And my question is, does this come down, since we have seen the last seven games at Soldier Field, single digits, could we see this game come down to a la the special teams?
It's going to be a one-score game. I just don't see it being anything but coming down to the last second. And if it is on the foot of either Mason Crosby or the meme Pinheiro from Chicago, I don't know about you guys. I'm surprised Sam Ficken didn't get a look by the Chicago Bears. If it was Mason Crosby, he would have been in there the moment he was
gone. He would have been in there in a heartbeat. Here's the thing, though. Ficken, they brought in 9 kickers.
Yeah.
And Pinheiro was the guy that was the steadiest throughout. And I can't believe Ficken did not kick for the Bears. But they felt Pinheiro, who had outbattled 9 other guys, stood tall because of the competition. And that was their reasoning for keeping him. So my question has been to everybody that covers the Bears is, did Nagy spent just way too much time drilling into everybody? Oh, by the way, the double doink and the 43-yard field goal? Because my question is, oh, by the way, did you get some better linemen that knew how to block and keep a paw out of the air?
Right. At some
point, that was part of it.
Yep, at some point you got to move on, too. At some point, right. At some point, your football team needs to know that the head coach isn't dwelling in the past and worried that much about the kicking game and putting it on. We've been around football teams for so long, right? Every single time a kicker misses a kick and you lose the game, everybody in the locker room comes in with the same stock answer of, well, that didn't lose us the game. No, we all could have made more plays. This is Matt Nagy saying, no, we should have won the game, and we would have won the game if Cody Parkey could put the ball through the uprights.
I just don't think he ever gets over it. It's like your first girlfriend, and it was his first season in the NFL as a head coach, and that's the way that you lose in a wild card game at home to the Eagles in a game that you're favored. I just don't think he'll ever get over it, and I think he's obsessed over it.
I really do, too. And to me, to stop practice, make everybody be quiet, and then drag the nine candidates out to the 43-yard line, it showed. I mean, granted, pressure situation showed because out of the nine, only six
hit that kick.
Six missed it. Three hit the kick.
Right.
Six missed it. Three hit the kick. So, you know, granted, you get a good glimpse of maybe who can handle the pressure and who can't. But to me, if you're going to continually do that and go back to the 43-yard line, if I'm an offensive player, I know now that I need to get 35 or in for a kick that's even going to be relatively makeable for some of the clown car people you brought into this thing.
That's not what I want to know if I'm an offensive tackle playing for that team.
Right. You know that you don't that legitimately your chances are so low that if you don't get inside the opponent's 35, chances are you're not going to hit a field goal because the clowns you brought in, they couldn't kick a damn field goal from 43 yards out.
I'm interested to see if they go for it on fourth down. Fourth and four. You know, you're right around the edge of field goal territory. I feel like Matt Nagy's going to have no confidence in whatsoever. It could be Mason Crosby. It could be Sam Ficken. It could be Justin Tucker, and I still don't think he'll have any confidence
in
the kicker.
I want to see a 42-yarder.
I have this bad
just inside.
He runs Pinheiro out there, and Pinheiro goes wide right, or God forbid he hits him right.
I want to see it, too. I was listening, so we had Mark Grody on from 670 The Score, Bears sideline reporter, on the morning today, and he said, you know, if the first 3-4 weeks he does miss a game-winning kick or he misses a couple here and there, he's not going to get cut. And if Mason Crosby did get cut, then the Bears probably wouldn't have picked him up. They're concerned about him making extra points. And I was sitting there like, that is not true. There's no way you brought nine kickers in for a competition.
For extra points. Yeah, that ain't happening.
No, absolutely not.
Because Parkey wasn't doinking him off the upright for extra points.
I have this bad feeling that if the Packers do lose tomorrow night, it's going to be on a field goal, like a 47, 48-yard game winner from Eddie Pinheiro. I just have this bad feeling.
If Pinheiro ends up hitting like a 50-yarder, you know?
Yeah.
But that's one of those moments that can live in infamy for a very short period
of
time.
Well, and what else it can do, though, is it can give that team the confidence boost you need coming out of that.
But he's got to hit stuff like that all season long. It can make you feel good, but you've got to go out and do it.
And you have to be able to showcase that you're going to be able to put points up on the board consistently. And where does this come back to is Mitch Trubisky finishing drives. I don't have the confidence left and right, game in and game out, that Mitch Trubisky is going to be able to put the football in the end zone as much as they're wanting to if they're worried about guys making extra points. It feels to me like the kicking game special teams-wise, special teams have always been a strength of the Chicago Bears, right? Like, I think back to when I was watching these games as a kid, watching single game Devin Hester take a ball 47 yards off a punt.
Right.
Or Israel Adonijé blocking field goals left and right.
Yeah.
Mike Brown coming in and diving across and blocking a punt. They've always had good special teams. They've always had teams and units that are able to shift the game in their favor. The Packers, this is also weird to say because we all are still coming out of the Ron Zook era. The Packers might have the strength of special teams going into tomorrow night.
I think they're a deep team, which lends itself well to special teams. I want to see – the big thing for me is can Trevor Davis stay healthy for an entire season and not have hamstring issues? Because he's got the wheels to be able to do it. And that guy, if he gets a little bit of open room, has been a pretty good kick returner at times, but he's still – is a guy with such incredible speed that has not broken one yet.
And that's what interested me the most is that Trevor Davis actually looked pretty good within the offense as well. I want to see if there's that gadget player. We're so used to McCarthy running out the same personnel. You know, when he did want to get cute, it'd be Randall Cobb in the backfield. I want to see if they find a gadget player, maybe a Dexter Williams.
A la Cordarrelle Patterson down in Chicago.
Right. He was playing running back for New England at times last year.
Yeah.
So I think that's just the way. That's the way that the NFL's headed, is that you can't just be the same 11-on-11. Everything's different.
Trevor Davis has to be able to play big moments for this football team, but you cannot turn the football over on special teams. Yeah. If you're giving teams short fields after a kick, that's when disaster strikes. Winning the turnover battle is always 1, 2, and 3, right? An importance level of an NFL game.
Yep.
the Bears are going to be able to take the football away. If the Packers keep end every drive with a kick tomorrow, they will win the game.
I don't know that the Bears will have as many. Yeah. I mean, they led the league in takeaways. I don't see them doing that again, and I don't see them staying this healthy. Also, I think Vic Fangio is a huge loss. So I just
could Vic Fangio's loss be the Derek Johnson Lee Tunnel loss that the Brewers experienced this year?
Vic Fangio had a way,
and for as much as I understand and appreciate the Chuck Pagano story, I don't know that I believe in Chuck Pagano.
Right, and the thing about Vic Fangio was this didn't just start last year with the Bears. I mean, he was giving Aaron Rodgers nightmares when he was in San Francisco, too, in those playoff losses. Rodgers couldn't
get
anything
done. Same with Zimmer. Zimmer had the same thing when he was with Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He'd given Aaron Rodgers fits down there, so there's no doubt about it. The other thing, when we were talking about the special teams, obviously J.K. Scott has been punting the ball like –
really well.
I want to see if he can do that when we get to the cold months.
Yeah.
But, oh, my God, if that guy punts that way all season long, you talk about a weapon.
He's going to lead the league in hang time by far.
Not since Reggie Roby out of Miami has had that kind of hang time.
And the dude can just boot it. And he looks like he's 12 years old.
He looks like Ichabod Crane.
That's why I couldn't rip the draft pick. I couldn't rip the draft pick because the Packers special teams
was
like
so brutal.
He's like
a long, lanky vulture type of guy who just gets the leg way in the air.
If you didn't know any better, you'd think he was a soccer player over at Muskego High School. And they just brought him back out for the
Oh, my goodness. We're going to go take a quick break. We're broadcasting live down here at Stenny's. We're in Walker's Points, the Bill Michaels Huddle. When we come back, we are finally going to take a look around the rest of the National Football League. Melvin Gordon not in camp. Zeke Elliott has signed his contract extension. He will be in camp and get limited snaps this coming weekend. Oh. You've got Antonio Brown with the Raiders, even though he's been fined over $50,000.
And putting it on Instagram.
He's nuts.
Yeah, and he's not happy about it. He still doesn't have the helmet he wants. He's pissed about that. You've got a lot of things going on here. You got Le'Veon Bell finally coming back and saying he's the happiest he's ever been, sitting on a pile of money in New York. So we'll see. We'll take a look around the rest of the NFL and start giving you some matchups and picks. Coming up next on the Bill Michaels Huddle.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Good to have you broadcasting live down here at Stenny's in Walker's Point. We are so glad you are on board tonight. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle. It's our first one of the year, brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And we've got Baby Tausch, Bill Schmidt alongside. We've also got Ryan Horvath here as well, both from 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee. Before we give you the prediction for the Thursday game, we are going to get into the rest of the schedule. Coming up on Sunday, you've got early games, the Rams on the road, the coming out of the NFC. They're going all the way to the East Coast, taking on Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. Ryan, I will start with you. Give me your pick.
Give me the Panthers in that one, 24-13 in an upset.
Right out of the chute.
I think the Rams are going to take a step back this year. I don't trust Todd Gurley's knee. I like Jared Goff, but, I mean, if all the pressure's on him, we saw what happened in the Super Bowl. That defense stayed really healthy last year.
Yep.
I like Aaron Donald a lot, but he hasn't missed any time. So I think the Panthers are going to be a surprise team. I like them to win week one.
Jared Goff with all that new money in his pocket.
Guaranteed money.
Yeah, right. No doubt. Triple digits of the guaranteed money. It is so difficult to go across the country and play in one of those noon games. But if anybody can do it and be able to have success with it, I think the L.A. Rams are poised to show that last year wasn't a fluke. However, give me the Panthers and the points.
I'm going to take the Rams on the road to get the win, to try to put that emphatic stamp on what happened last year. And the way they were beaten in the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So
we're putting up 3 points in that game.
I keep thinking because I go back to that pass interference that wasn't called.
Right.
You know, and I don't know. Anyway, long story short, I'm going to take the Rams on the road in this one. Then you've got the Green Bay Packers East, the Cleveland Browns, who you talk about investing some money, man. They've got some juice in that club now. You know, Odell Beckham Jr.
Yep.
They picked up, obviously, they've got Baker Mayfield at their quarterback position. They've always had a pretty decent defense. They're going for it. They believe they can win the division. You obviously had Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. They're gone out of Pittsburgh. Cincinnati's in flux, and Marvin Lewis isn't there anymore to be the lapdog. You know, you've got obviously a good defense in Baltimore, but they're still struggling to find their identity with their
Jackson with Tennessee.
Yes,
with
no, with Baltimore.
Lamar Jackson.
Oh, yeah, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, that's my thought. I just wanted to make sure I was right. Anyway, long story short is the Browns are going for it. I think the Browns are going to win the division. I'm taking the Browns at home against the Titans.
Yeah, I took the Browns at home. I took them given the points when I was out in Las Vegas with my friends over there in the desert. It was at 5. It's already gotten bet up. The interesting one with this, though, is look at what the Browns did. They did mortgage with all these skill positions to go get Odell Beckham. They bring in Olivier Vernon, who was an underwhelming pass rusher in New York. But they let Kevin Zeitler go. And their offensive line is already a little bit of a question mark. If Greg Robinson, he's going to start at left tackle. He's one of the most disappointing number two overall picks at the left tackle position that we've seen in the last 5-6 years. If he can be what they believe it seems like he is now, giving him a new deal after they release him to keep him up long term, the Browns are going to be a really dangerous team. I think they win that division too.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Browns in this one too. I'm just not sold on Marcus Mariota. This may be his last year as a starting quarterback in Tennessee. He just really hasn't panned out. If you look at him and Jameis Winston, that draft just really didn't pan out at the quarterback position. I like the Browns a lot, and I think they're only going to get better as the weeks progress. We have to remember they're going to get Kareem Hunt, who, I mean, we're not all big Kareem Hunt guys, I know, but he's one of the most dangerous backs in the league.
But I'm a big Nick Chubb guy.
With Nick Chubb, right. Yeah. Jarvis Landry, you forget about him even being on the team now because you got Odell Beckham Jr. I think they're stacked offensively. I like Baker Mayfield. I'll take them in that one.
Chiefs are on the road taking on the Jaguars. Easy one. I'm taking Patrick Mahomes, the reigning MVP, and they're going to walk away with a win in this one.
I'm a little bit interested to see if they can walk away with it. I think that Jacksonville team, we forget that they were a game away from a Super Bowl playing with Blake Bortles as their quarterback.
But they were supposed to be all that with a defense last year that just got trounced.
Yeah.
And they brought in one of the nastiest players in the draft in Josh Allen to rush from Kentucky. I think I got the Chiefs winning the game, but I think it's a little bit closer than the experts think.
I took the Jags to win the division, actually. I think they're going to take a big step back to where they were 2 years ago because Blake Bortles was awful last year. Nick Foles, he just has to go out there and not lose them the ball game. I think that defense will be healthy. I really like Jalen Ramsey. I'm going to take the Jags in an upset in this one. I think they're going to beat the Chiefs week one.
Ravens on the road taking on the Dolphins, and this is somewhat of a yawner, to be perfectly honest with you.
100%.
Optimism reigning supreme for the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens have a better defense on the road. It's going to be hot, but I'll still give the edge to the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I'd give everything in a bag of chips if the Ravens don't win this game. I don't know how you see the Dolphins winning more than two games this year with what they've done.
The Dolphins make no sense. They acquire Josh Rosen, and then they get rid of one of the best tackles in the league. I mean, I know
they're going to start Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, so I think that the Ravens win that one probably by two scores.
Falcons on the road taking on the Vikings. This is a good one because I think it's a bounce back year
really
for the Falcons. I think that there's so much pressure on Zimmer to get a win and to get back to the postseason and to do some damage in the postseason because they pushed their chips to the middle of the table a couple of years ago. And when they did it with Kirk Cousins, they were looking to maybe double down. I'm going to take the Vikings at home, but this is going to be a tight one. I think Matt Ryan comes up maybe 3 points short.
I got the Vikings giving four, and I think they win it by a touchdown. I think we're forgetting that the Vikings also have probably the top duo at wide receiver as anybody in the NFC with Diggs and Thielen.
Yeah.
And if Dalvin Cook can stay healthy for 16 games, that is a lethal offense to go along with a defense that's usually
top 10.
He's now
a year and a half removed from that knee injury, too.
Yeah, and he is one of the most athletic players in the game.
He might be one of the top backs in the league, Dalvin Cook, that nobody's talking about. I just go back to how that season ended for Minnesota last week of the year with Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs just kind of going at it with Kirk Cousins. But I still think Cousins has a bounce back. I think this is going to be a good offensive system for him this year. So I like the Vikings at home.
Bills are on the road taking on the Jets. They start with a divisional game right out of the chute, in the divisional yawn right out of the chute. Although it's the premiere of Le'Veon Bell at the Meadowlands.
Yep. And also my boy, Sam Darnold.
Oh, boy.
That's
second-year leap with Adam Gase, the quarterback whisperer. Sam Darnold just is going to have his team within the last 2 weeks of this season in a chance for a playoff spot.
Yeah,
that defense is legit. Look at who they have. They have a perennial all-pro, possibly at every level of the defense as well.
Yeah, I think the Jets are going to be pretty solid. I could see them winning maybe, I don't know, 9 or 10 games maybe as a wild card this year, but it's going to depend on what Sam Darnold looks like. For everything that I like about Sam Darnold, he still throws off his back foot way too much. He doesn't make the best decisions.
So did Brett Favre.
I'm going to go with the Jets in this one, though. Probably by
Sam
a score.
Sam Darnold and Brett Favre in the same conversation.
Bill, I love that kid.
Boy.
I think he's got...
I'm surprised you haven't eaten more wings with as much pottage you're smoking.
I mean, it is 20 after 4.
Wow.
But when you sit here with Sam Darnold, with a quarterback coach that's been able to take Jay Cutler to the playoffs, give me Sam Darnold with Adam Gase.
All right, I can live with that. The Redskins on the road taking on the Eagles at the Link. And Carson Wentz and company, I like what Doug Peterson did there last year. It fell apart. They didn't get the quarterback play. They didn't get the offense they wanted. Their defense got shredded pretty good. They were devastated by injury. This year, I think they come back and they have a bounce back year and they knock off the Redskins in the opener.
Is it surprising? Now, you were covering the Packers when Doug was playing and,
yeah,
and backing up Brett.
Yeah, him and I used to hang, like, kind of hang out.
Right.
Yeah, we'd go up the street up to the Prime Quarter. And
is it surprising to you of how good of a head coach he is at this point in his career?
No, because usually a lot of backup quarterbacks who really see the game but don't have the talent, they're usually pretty good. Guys that don't have the talent to be superstars in the league usually end up being pretty good coaches.
I think he's going to be a top five coach in this league for a long time coming.
Yeah. I like what he's – and I like the fact that he was risky. He was a risk taker the year they ended up winning the Super Bowl. He was a guy that was going for it on fourth down.
Yep.
And numbers were telling him to go for it. So I like what he did. Now if he can just keep his team healthy, then they'll have a bounce back.
And that is a sleeper, not obviously for this week. Within the next 4 weeks, if Melvin Gordon is on that Eagles team, as they're the only team that's been rumored to actually have made an offer to the Chargers for Melvin Gordon, if they can tie him up with Carson Wentz, who is having – MVP year before he busted that ACL. That team is dangerous. I think they boat race the Redskins.
And that's the thing with Carson Wentz. As much as I love him, he's just a dangerous quarterback because he just gets hit way too much. Hopefully they could keep him in the pocket a little bit more. If they do that, I mean, like you said, 2 years ago he was having an MVP season. The thing that weirds me out a little bit about the Eagles, Carson Wentz is arguably a top five quarterback maybe, but didn't it seem like the team just rallied around Nick Foles a little bit more?
Yep.
So I just don't know if he's well – I don't want to – I mean, I'm not going to throw it out there.
I think that was coaching.
The argument was he wasn't well-liked in the locker room.
And that's what I'm saying.
He was kind of not the leader everybody expected him to be, and Nick Foles was.
Yeah, I still like the Eagles in this one. I expect nothing from the Redskins. Maybe 3-13 this year.
3-13. There you have it.
They also took Dwayne Haskins with a first-round pick.
Real quick, Colts on the road taking on the Melvin Gordon-less Chargers out in L.A.
When I was out in – the desert, this was part of a 16 parlay that I have slated up for week one that if I hit, I will be venturing back out to the desert to cash out. It's that helpful. This is going to be one of those games where you see teams around the NFL rally around. You talked about Nick Foles when he rallied around the backup quarterback. Jacoby Brissett has won games in the NFL. He has won games with the New England Patriots. He's won games on the road. And if you're going to talk about a home field advantage, that's the farthest thing from it. When you're talking about the L.A. Chargers,
oh, right,
the soccer stadium, that's going to be full with Colts fans in that sense. I just don't know if they have enough at this point in time, right after the Andrew Luck retirement 2 weeks ago, to go and knock out the Chargers. I'm going to take the Chargers, but I think it's within a score.
I'm going to pick the upset. I'm going to go with the Colts, mainly because I'm a Vegas guy, and I look at 82% of the money on the Chargers, and I'm saying something's not right. Week one, we see so many upsets. I even took the over on the Colts wins at 7.5 when it dropped back down after the Andrew Luck retirement. I think this team will rally around Jacoby Brissett. He's not going to be Andrew Luck, but I don't think he'll have to be for them to win 8 games. I'm going to take the upset. I think the Chargers will probably finish with 10 or 11 wins. They're going to be a playoff team, but I think they get upset week one.
Going to go and take a quick break. We'll go with the second half of the lineup, including tomorrow night's game. We will pick the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. That is coming up. We are broadcasting live down here at Stenny's in Walker's Point. Come by for the Bill Michaels garlic cheese bread, the wings, the wraps, the burgers.
I'm going to throw down everything.
Fish fry on Friday. My wife loves a fish fry. She goes, she can't wait to come down here on a Friday and eat the fish fry.
And still not gain a pound.
I don't know how
God,
she does
I hate skinny.
Jealous of that, right.
She can't wait for me to leave the house.
My wife, too, but for other reasons.
Yeah. You and I, Ryan, already went through that discussion. I'm not going to getting into that again. We're going to go take a quick break. We got more right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Back to the program. We are broadcasting live here at Stenny's at 2nd and National Air in Walker's Point. And it's the home of the best Bloody Mary, which they have been a Bloody Mary winner when it comes to competition down here for I don't know how long. They've got banners all over this place. Pond hockey tournaments brought to you by Labatt's up in the northern portions of the state of Wisconsin. You ever see the pond hockey tournament?
No.
That's amazing.
So much about it.
It really is.
Actually have the champions always out at Milwaukee Admirals hockey every single year.
It's not played it with regular nets. It's played with like a 4 or 5 inch off the ground type of board system. You got to get it into.
Okay.
So it's not like you're taking slap shots from, you know, a mile away trying to put it in the net. And the 21 and over league, I think, is what it is. They get like 300 teams from around the world that come to this thing in northern Wisconsin.
Really?
And Stenny's team has won it 4 of the last 7 years.
Yeah, they roll through it. It's not even a contest.
Nice pipeline we got going through here in Wisconsin.
Last year they didn't win it, and I said, so what happened, guys? You're running a good team? No. They took the Stenny shuttle up, and that bus was rolling the night before.
I was going to say, right. It's like the Vikings, the boat.
Yes,
the
love boat. Exactly right.
The love boat
happened, yeah.
Well, we've seen
those Stenny's guys. Love bus was cruising up and down up there in the tall timbers of Tomahawk area. The next thing you know, nobody knew where the pond was.
Well, when they take that bad boy up to Packer games and see you guys over at Hinterland after the game, I've seen them letting it ride.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good group for that. Good group to let it ride with. I like that.
You get through one verse of the wheels of the bus, and that's about the extent of it.
We're dry already.
Yeah, there's past that 5-gallon bucket coming from the Home Depot, and you're good to go. let's do this. We're going to get to the rest of the games that are on the docket. You have got the lowly Cincinnati Bengals taking on Seattle. Out in Seattle, Seahawks trying to kind of reestablish themselves all over again. I like the Seahawks in this one. I don't think Cincinnati's going to do much this year, so I'm going to take the Seahawks.
Same here. I think, too, Russell Wilson paid. They're going to be able to throw the football down the field. They've gotten guys in that receiving core that fit what Russell Wilson does well. Throw the deep ball. Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, they're down the field passing threats, but they can also run the ball a little bit. Chris Carson stays healthy and doesn't break his leg like he did last year.
Right, I think Chris Carson's going to have a big year. Also, I mean, you lose Earl Thomas and you pay Russell Wilson all that money, but you still find a way to fix the defense. It costs you a couple draft picks, but you bring in Jadeveon Clowney. I like the Seahawks a lot this year.
The Cardinals, they are at home out there in the desert, taking on the Lions, who have to go towards the West. And you know what? The Cardinals were a terrible, terrible team. I don't think they're going to be much better. I don't even think they have a lot of faith in their quarterback. I'm going to take the Lions on the road in this one.
Yeah, I am too, because Matt Patricia, if he knows anything, it's how to scheme defense. And if he's going up against Cliff Kingsbury in that offense, it's a little gimmicky, but it's throwing the football. It is. I just don't know, Bill, what you think of Kyler Murray. I just can't see it working as well.
He's
as
a hell of a pitcher.
Right. Especially with that pass
he's
rush.
He's a hell of a pitcher,
Like, the Lions could go 0-11, but they're going to have one of the better pass rushes in the entire NFC. They got a bunch of guys that could get to the quarterback, including Mike Daniels. I like the Lions on the road.
I think the Lions are at least going to be 1-15. This may be their win. The Giants on the road taking on the Cowboys. Cowboys have Zeke Elliott back. Dak Prescott looking for a big year and a big payday. They've got just about everybody re-signed. Jerry Jones smiling because, did you see today he made $64 million in the stock market?
Yeah, I saw that.
Huh?
Yeah, he made $64 million today in the stock market.
That's why Zeke got that money.
Yeah, that gives Zeke,
so Zeke 50 got the
million
money
guaranteed. Okay, that makes
sense.
I'm going
to take the Cowboys at home to beat the Giants.
Yeah, the Giants suck. I don't know what any other way to say it. I mean, they're brutal. Saquon Barkley's
the
a great
Giants
player.
The Giants suck.
They do. I kind of feel bad for him in this sense of Eli Manning is just, like, waiting there to, like, fall off the face of the earth. They put out these projections in the desert out in Las Vegas of quarterbacks spread differentials. And every other starting quarterback is, you know, give him a point. Aaron Rodgers leads it with 7.5. And Eli Manning is the only starting quarterback that his team improves when he doesn't play.
Yeah, and they traded Odell Beckham Jr. You bring in Golden Tate. He suspended the first 4 games of the season. I like the – let's go Cowboys on this one.
49ers on the road taking on the Buccaneers. A battle of futility down there in Tampa Bay. Just because the 49ers are going from the East Coast to the West – or West Coast to the East Coast, I'm going to take the Buccaneers at home.
I'm going with the 49ers with the scheme. I think Kyle Shanahan is able to get Jimmy Garoppolo in his system.
The mighty Garoppolo back.
And be able to play. I'm pulling for Jameis Winston, guys. I am. I want him to succeed. I like Bruce Arians. I just don't see it with the Buccaneers.
I was going to say, if Jameis can't perform with Bruce Arians as his head coach calling his plays, then it's just over for him. I can't pick the Bucs, though.
Sunday night football. The Steelers on the road taking on the New England Patriots. This promises to be a good one. Two veteran and seasoned quarterbacks both have rings. Tom Brady obviously has a whole lot more, but at home, opening up after a Super Bowl, ain't happening. Steelers are not going to get to anywhere near a W in this one. I'm going to take the Patriots.
Yeah, I think the Patriots win by 2 scores.
Yeah, I'm agree. I'll go Patriots on this one, too.
Texans on the road taking on the Saints. Saints, hell of a team last year. Drew Brees had a hell of a year last year. Even though the Texans are a much better team, J.J. Watt looks to be healthier than he's been in a long, long time. And I know he's coming for Drew Brees, but Drew Brees at home, Saints, Who Dat Nation, they're going to get it.
Yeah, I got the Saints winning, and whatever the over-under is, go over, because there's going to be points galore in that game.
Yeah, tons of points in that game. I'm going to go with the Saints. You can't beat them at home in the Dome.
And Deshaun Watson gets beat up every game. He'll get beat up. He'll be out for the rest of the season.
And he can last fall. That's what's so tough about
him. He couldn't fly on a plane because he had a collapsed lung. They had to take him on a bus.
Right.
Like 800 miles. So well, they got to protect him.
Go Greyhound. Broncos and Raiders. The Raiders getting right away. The Denver Broncos. I'm going to take the Raiders at home just because.
We got some guys out here wanting to talk about some Broncos football. I'll tell you this. The Broncos win. They do it convincingly because I just can't buy John Gruden.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that, too. I'm a Joe Flacco guy. I go Broncos on the road in this one.
And then before we get out of here, the Green Bay Packers opening up tomorrow night. Soldier Field, 7:20 is the kickoff. Taking on this storied Chicago Bears. And a quick synopsis, give me your pick.
23-20, the Packers finish it off. They get the W, and it's because of a Mason Crosby game-winning field goal.
I'm going to go 24-17, a full touchdown win for the Green Bay Packers on the road. Three touchdown passes for Aaron Rodgers. I like the defense in this one. I think Trubisky ends it with an interception. Possibly let's go to Adrian Amos. Little revenge tour for him.
27-21, the Bears get the win.
No, oh, man.
The Bears get the win. And that's the way it's going to end.
But the Brewers beat the Cubs for the four
Which would you
set?
Rather have, real quick? Would you rather have the Packers get the win or the Brewers sweep the Cubs?
Packers. Sweep of the Cubs.
Packers.
Hands down.
Packers get the win? Okay.
Packers
we're split
get
on that, too. It has been great. Thanks to the Stenny's staff. Ken, you the man. Appreciate it, buddy. Time for us to get out of here. Thanks to everybody for hanging out with us down here at Stenny's, the best place for wings. The Bill Michaels Garlic Cheese Bread, second in Nashville. You should be here. Brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Next time you hear my voice, we will be at the Shy Bar in Chicago. Here we come, Windy City. Talk to you later. Have a good one. Whoop!
Sports Talk Network.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.